In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's a lot going on this Sunday. Certainly celebrating our mothers for Mother's Day. In the church year, there's also what's unofficially called Good Shepherd Sunday. Because we are right at this place where the readings and everything revolve around Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We read the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." But along with this Good Shepherd also comes the big question of who is Jesus? Who is he? That comes right out of the readings. You're saying, "You are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus said, "I have told you." You might look at Jesus and say, "Well, who's a teacher? Yes, who was that?" Might say he was a good person. That is also true. So say he was a miracle worker. And he did perform many miracles and signs and wonders. But none of those in and of themselves capture everything that Jesus is. It's not what he claimed to be. He did claim to be the Messiah. He said, "Yes, I am the Messiah, and I told you that I am." But the idea of the Messiah goes up transformed into something even more. The idea of the Messiah being God the Son, becoming incarnate as a human being and walking amongst us. Which raises humanity up and raises our faith up to something beyond what we can ask or imagine. So when the gospel starts this morning, we had the people gathered around Jesus and they said, "Tell us the truth. Are you the Messiah or not? Tell us plainly." Jesus responded, "I have told you, and my signs, my wonders, they speak on my behalf." Now, just as an aside here, if you're following along in your bulletin, you may have read all the Jews gathered around him. And that is, let's just say, that does not refer to modern Judaism. That's not what the gospel writer is talking about. He was writing in a different time. Christianity was in the minority and couldn't possibly have foreseen how that particular wording had been to be misused, particularly in the Middle Ages and beyond. So, which is why I might say, if I'm preaching on this passage, that it really didn't matter who they were just people. There are people with questions, and there are people with doubts. And people who said to Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Just tell us plainly." Now the idea here, what was going on, was their idea of a Messiah was different from what Jesus brought. The very word Messiah literally meant the anointed one. And this was something that was done to kings. They would have their heads anointed with oil, which in those days, that was a luxury that not many people could afford. So the kings, they would have their heads anointed with oil, and it would be very good for their skin, and oil itself was very expensive. They did not have a Walgreens on the corner of every corner of Happy and Healthy, where they could just buy some nice skin lotion. They couldn't do that. And so, the Messiah, even looking in Psalm 23, where King David was writing and saying, "You have anointed my head with oil and my cup is overflowing." But it's something that was very, very important. And so the idea of a Messiah like this to be a king, when it was not outside the realm of possibilities, but Jesus was saying, yes, there is that, but he also based the idea of Messiah to something even more. Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And if you look back in the very first chapter of John that sets the tone for the whole gospel, it talks about how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so this idea of the Word, what we have here is some good Trinitarian ideas there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is also known as the Word. And we also have some good ideas of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, creating Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God. And so one of the great implications by Jesus becoming a human being and walking amongst us, is that he brought God close to us. Everything we experience in this life, the very places that you can go to in the Holy Land, God literally set his foot upon those places. God was brought very close. And in coming that close to us, you know, God comes close, which also draws us towards God. And another function of the Messiah was that he unites people to himself. The Messiah unites people to himself. Again, using the imagery of a shepherd, Jesus said to the people that were talking to him, he said, "There are my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they know who I am. I know them, and they follow me." So you can see there's a beginning of a relationship happening here. One of the great things that happened with the Word made flesh was that he gathered followers around him. There are actual people that came that close to the God-man, Jesus Christ. Many times when I'm reflecting on the Gospels or reflecting on the Scriptures, look at something like this, kind of indulge in some, well, there are some childhood games that I used to play where I would think it would be so great be in the middle of this. I think reading the gospel is so great to have been there, to hear Jesus' voice, to see the way he interacted, to be there to hear the Sermon on the Mount, the cleansing of the lepers, the healing of the lame. Boy, that would really be wonderful. When I was a child, my friends and I used to play these games when we watched movies. We watched some really, really good movies. Which was in the 80s, of course, with Star Wars. And while we would watch these movies, we would watch them over and over again to make sure we had the plot really well and we enjoyed them. And then it was time to go outside and reenact these movies that we saw. So we'd get our cardboard and we'd make these cutouts of the Death Star and Defender and X-Wing fighters going around. It's like, yeah, we wanted to be a part of that action. And I get that same kind of feeling of nostalgia when I'm looking at the gospel. No, but here's the thing. As an adult, or actually as a baptized Christian, no, it's not just a childhood fantasy or a childhood game. You are literally, in your baptism, united to Christ. That is what baptism does, is it unites you to Christ. And so, since Christ is eternal, spans all time, so even 2,000 years later, we are still united to him. And being united to this eternal God-man, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, you know, we can be there. We do have the means of being and hearing the Sermon on the Mount. There's prayer practices you can do that will get you really close to these, going through the senses and such. But the point is that you are every much one of Jesus' followers, just as much those people that were following him around in the first century. We are given these great gifts. One of the most wonderful gifts we are given is the gift of eternal life. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." This is one of the greatest gifts we receive in baptism. That we are not only united to Christ, but specifically united to Christ in his death and resurrection. And so during this Easter season, I've been focusing on Christ's victory over death. How as a human being, he was able to enter into this state of death that we are all subjected to. And yet, as fully God, as fully human, he could enter into death, but as fully God, he could nullify death from the beginning. Be like an adult with some poetic imagery, be like there's this place, there's a prison with a gate. And the gate would let people in, but not let people out. But Jesus came in, being fully God, fully human, could get in through that gate, was fully God, could blow it wide open, creating the path for eternal life. So Christ's victory over death is your victory. We get to share in his resurrection. We get to share in his victory of opening up the gates of death, of escaping, and of becoming human once again. And And I'm sure there will be a time when the general resurrection happens, when we are all united with our bodies, and will be glorious and wonderful. And it actually goes into a lot of detail in our second lesson from the community of militants, but to elaborate on that, the lesson from Revelation would be a whole other sermon. We don't have time for that today. Or do we? No other. We do still die, that is true. But for those who are part of Christ's sheep, when we die and do not encounter darkness, instead we see light. Instead of being in a prison, we find a path to freedom. When we experience death, we don't see that death as a final place. When we experience everlasting, eternal life. So who is Jesus? The biggest question that we raised right in the beginning. Yes, he is the Messiah. But an idea of Messiah that goes beyond what people could ask or imagine. This Messiah is God made flesh. This Messiah is the one who unites you to himself. This Messiah grants us eternal life. Yes, he himself went before us, conquering the power of death. There is really no better news than this. For God, a human, walking amongst us, living, dying, rising from the dead, he created the means for us to be united to God in his love. And there is nothing that can separate us from this life in Christ and this love of God. Absolutely nothing. This is such great news. What a great message we've been entrusted with, this message that is for the whole world. What a great gift we have, what a great life we get to live. It's a great life of eternal life.